So this is the spoiler-filled Avengers Endgame chat. Joe, who has revealed that he didn't really like it, and me, who did really like it.
Really interesting to have those two
perspectives. So go on, straight up, what was your most disappointing moment? Where were you like, oh, God, goodness sake?
So, I mean, the last half hour is not disappointing in the sense that, you know, it has to tie up a lot of loose ends. Like, for example, you know, Tony Stark, Iron Man, is dead. So we have to have his funeral and we have to slowly go around the group at the funeral and see who's there and be like, oh, I know that person, but I don't know that person. So there's a lot of...
The person you didn't know was Ty Simpkins, who is the young boy in Iron Man 3.
That's correct.
As I understand.
That's correct. And what we're doing at that point is like reflecting on what's going to happen next.
Yeah. So you've got Scarlet Witch, who's like with Clint, and they're like, then we both lost people. She lost Vision and he lost Black Widow. And now what's going to happen next?
But Vision is coming back because there's a TV series with Wanda and Vision.
My thought was that, do you think like there's a side of this which is they know that these TV series, I mean, they're dealing with Hollywood actors who star in feature films. They're not going to commit to like five series of WandaVision. In my head, I'm saying that. I have no idea. Do you think it might be a case of WandaVision will be one series and it will be about the period which we didn't see when they fell in love? Like, that might be what they're going to do.
I've read somewhere it's like a 50s set thing, so I don't know.
50s?
Well, look, I mean, now we can get into it. We can say, I mean, the whole middle section of the film is about time travel.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
Now they have the ability to time travel, which, by the way, isn't really explained properly, I don't think. And they make a joke about other films that don't really explain it. And they make a joke about the fact that, oh, what you do in the past doesn't affect the present. And there's stuff about different timelines with the ancient one, Tilda Swinton.
Love that.
I mean, we should also say, like, everybody comes back.
Yeah.
Like, you go back to previous films. Natalie Portman is in there.
Robert Redford.
Rene Russo.
But the people have seen it. They know. They've seen these people.
So
that was satisfying. Did you not like that? I love that.
I just kind of bored by
what?
Yeah, like, you know, I've already seen these films. I mean, the thing is, because it's 3 hours long, they occasionally take it in an interesting direction, like when Captain America fights Captain America.
That was great.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, an interesting direction. But when they call back to the Captain America lift scene from Winter Soldier, and then they just resolve it with a Hail Hydra, you know, it's funny, but it's not really.
But that's not. But that, I mean, I think I can imagine some people watching that going, oh my God, that's the scene from Winter Soldier. And it's like, no, it's not. They're just in a lift. Like, it just echoes it a little bit.
Yeah, it's echoing it deliberately.
But I can imagine some people getting confused because even the actor, obviously, who's the dude? The fellow who turned into the scary guy in Winter Soldier or in Civil War, you know, he was like in the lift as well. I can imagine people getting confused with that.
There's a lot of the same people, you know, and obviously we get, you know, we go back to the 70s and we see Howard Stark and Tony gets some closure with him and Thor goes back to see Jane and get the ether with Rocket. And he gets some closure with his mum, Rene Russo, who seems to know that she's dying.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, I don't think she knows she's dying. She just kind of knows that it's not going to help. She cannot know what's going to happen, number one. Well, number two, you're like, because she talked about her witch stuff and her power. And I thought that was very well done and sensitively done and justified and whatever. I do think there are some issues in my head about, you know, like at the end, Captain America, like, went back and then lived his whole life so he became
old. And they
old.
Don't explain at all how he put the stones back. It's a really big jump to like it was hard to get the stones,
but it's kind of
hard to put them back as well.
But surely that means people who, let's say, knew Peggy Carter would have been reintroduced to like her new husband and they'd be like, he looks a lot like Captain America, Peggy. And she'd be like,
but
oh, yes.
In that timeline, was he not Captain America?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's
because
it's a mess.
If it's all in the same timeline, like Captain America would still have appeared in 2012 and the Avengers and all the things would have happened as they would, because they couldn't disrupt it. Yeah, they, you know, they couldn't, things couldn't happen. But the only timeline I kind of imagine is there's a bit of a question mark, is what's the timeline where Thanos doesn't do the snap at all? Because obviously...
Well, this timeline that they're now in, he can't do the snap because he's dead.
No, because the status quo is that 50% of the planet came back, didn't they? That's the world we're in. Am I right?
Yeah.
But by them going back and by Thanos going back in time.
So we had two snaps. This is a two snap timeline, a snap to get rid of them and a snap to bring them
back.
Yeah,
of course. My point being is that like the Thanos who found out that they were playing around with time, he then went back in time himself, didn't he? And he was the one they were fighting at the end.
This is what I'm talking about, the kind of convoluted time travel thing. I mean, we knew that they were going to use the quantum realm as an excuse for, you know, just going back. And that's why I'm saying they make jokes about Back to the Future and Die Hard, but, you know, that's not really...
that's funny.
But they don't really, you know, explain the science. And Tony, you know, he just has one evening where he thinks about it and he's like, oh, yeah, I've just solved time travel. It's just the
I did think that was a bit snarky, weird, a bit. Yeah, but this is why I don't like Tony Stark, because I don't like the way he his gadget and his genius and it is just a given. Like, oh no, he just knows everything. And when
but ultimately he makes the ultimate sacrifice. He's the one that dies. I think when we get into that final battle,
and
we
Black
are
Widow,
and we're
Black
expecting
Widow.
Somebody to die. Well, we'll get to Black Widow later. We're expecting one of the big guns to die, one of the big three, I would say, and you know, I include Thor and Captain America in that. And Captain America is essentially dead. He's passed the shield to Falcon.
Yeah.
But for Tony Stark to die, you don't like Tony Stark. That wasn't an impressive moment.
I did think it was very well done. I'm not a big Tony Stark fan, so I'm not going to get upset by it. But I did appreciate that it was sensitively handled and well done. And I do think that worked. If I'm honest, I think when the amount of weight put on his death... I feel like ignores that Black Widow's dead too. Like, she gave her life as well.
Okay, well, let's get into that in a minute. Just to say on the Tony Stark thing. So they build another gauntlet for the Infinity Stones, which the Hulk does a click on and it hurts him. And then somehow the Infinity Stones are stuck on Tony Stark's arm.
He had a separate one, didn't he? He obviously made one for himself just in case.
Always with Tony Stark and with Marvel in general, there's just a new bit of magic that they don't necessarily explain.
We have
bit
to
of tech,
accept that.
And you just have to go with it without really thinking about it. That's a problem for me. I'm not really into that. But to get into the Black Widow thing, where she and Hawkeye have a scene in which they essentially compete to sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
Really not impressed by that
what?
At all.
Why? That was a really good, like, because I was like, I don't know who was going to die. I honestly didn't have a clue who was going to die then.
I knew Black Widow was going to die, I would say. And of course, you know, they keep switching it over. I don't know if they're trying to be funny or what. It doesn't make any sense. But I felt Hawkeye was going to live because of his family situation. Yeah. But, of course, it makes it awkward in terms of, you know, we've already greenlit a Black Widow film. So are they going to do a Search for Spock thing? Or are they going to do a prequel thing?
It'll
or,
be prequel.
You know, a gap in the thing? But what they've got to do, because they kill her quite early on, in fact, you know, in the middle section. And then, so she doesn't get to sacrifice, you know, it's a weird sacrifice, I think. And it doesn't really work. And it kind of pushes her to one side, which is a shame, given that she is the only female central Avenger. And also, I felt the same about Okoye from Wakanda, who gets one phone call. You know, she's on the blower right in the first, like, half an hour post-snap 5 years later. And they don't invite her to go on the mission with her. I would have loved to see Okoye in Asgard with Rocket and Thor. I don't know why they didn't do that. It's really weird.
You kind of think Valkyrie had more scenes, and yet she wasn't even on the poster? Was she? I don't even think she was.
And then they made Valkyrie Queen of Asgard.
Yeah.
And Thor is off to join the Guardians of the Galaxy. Is that true?
Okay, so with me and the Thor, Fat Thor thing...
Not have a montage and get him to lose the weight? It's funny for like one scene. It's not funny anymore.
I'm kind of like you on that. I because if I'm honest, my favorite Avenger always has been Thor. So the fact that the whole film Thor is this kind of Big Lebowski schlub, as Tony Stark refers to him, you know what I mean? I feel like that was a bit of a shame. I liked the joke when it first came up, but I think by the end, well, especially when he's like there trying to be all like mano a mano with what's his name, Chris Pratt, with Star Lord, you know, bit. And even when he is fighting Thanos, there's something that seems a bit odd.
Well, they sort out his beard, but they don't sort out his belly. It doesn't work. I think they could have done. I mean, it's a long film anyway, but they definitely could have fitted a montage in somewhere. And the other thing I'll say, which is kind of linked to Thor, there's no romance in this film. There's no...
I think that's okay.
No, it's really missing. You know, obviously there's a relationship between Pepper and Tony, and they have a child. But the focus is always on family and not on, you know... it's Black Widow and Hawkeye are kind of like brother and sister in a sense. We talk about Hawkeye's family and his connection to them. But there's just literally... Lupita Nyong'o is not in it at all either. Yeah. And it's bizarre that we couldn't have Black Panther's romance. I mean, obviously Chadwick Boseman's not in it very much either because he only reappears at the end. But I just really miss that. And I don't know why. Marvel have never, you know, the whole Hulk and Natasha thing, you know, Hulk is upset that she's dead, but I don't know. Again, it's more of a family thing than a romantic thing. And I you know, there's one of my big problems with the whole Marvel universe is they just, you know, I mean, we got Gamora and Star-Lord, but actually in this film, that relationship is broken, and at the end, we're not going to fix it. And for some reason, Gamora has disappeared, and again, maybe they're going to do a search for Spock on her, because the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to go off and find her.
Yeah, I think, well, this is it. In this world, Gamora is there, but and so now she's still alive, but obviously they do have to reintroduce how that relationship will come back. I'm sure it will.
Well, Nebula has told her about that relationship, and she's like, oh, maybe I'm not so into this.
Yeah.
But I didn't see in the film where they dealt with where she disappeared to, but obviously the next Guardians film is about finding her.
So the Spider-Man question, which I have to ask, is Far From Home, if 50% of the planet have disappeared for 5 years, like you see how in that funeral, for example, Scott Lang is there with his family, but of course, his daughter is a lot older, while Tony Stark's daughter is obviously young because she wasn't snapped and she was born after the snap and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious, like, are they going to claim that all, like, Spider-Man and all his class just conveniently were snapped to justify that they're all the same age? Or will there be, like, the odd character who's older? Or something.
Well, I have no idea. It's a difficult thing. And I think that's why they've said that Spider-Man Far From Home is still part of the Phase 3 universe, because they're going to have to deal with that. It looked like Aunt May had been snapped and come back. She was the same age. You know, that age loss thing is something they're going to have to deal with. And I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, for me, you know, I'm kind of done with the Marvel Universe. I've seen 21 of the 22 films.
Which is the one you didn't see?
Thor 2, which is quite an important one for this.
That's when Frigga died. That's when Thor's mum died.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You're going to rewatch it? Are you going to watch it?
No. I'm done with those. You know, I think there are 4 or 5 good films in there. Certainly none of the Avengers films are ones that I would go back to.
Wow.
But I will say, I'm kind of on the fence about the Spider-Man one. I'll see how they market it. I'm on the fence about the Black Widow one. I'll see how they market it. I'm on the fence about Captain Marvel sequel. I'll see how they market it. You know,
what do you think of Captain Marvel in this?
Really underused. No,
well, surprisingly.
And then
so,
she has a haircut, and I don't understand that. It was a joke.
Did you think
it wasn't? I just didn't engage with it at all. Then they just bring her back, like, to kind of win the day. I don't
remember that bit when they kind of like, where were you until now? And she justifies it like, you're not the only planet here. Like, there are other planets which don't have Avengers. Did you think that was a good justification for why she couldn't help out with the old Chitauri invasion in 2012?
I didn't really care, to be honest. And they use the exact same thing in this film where she disappears in, you know, and she disappears for a lot of the final battle until, you know, they start playing football with the Infinity Gauntlet. And then she comes back and kind of... But ultimately, you know, we all thought, who's going to inflict the killer blow on Thanos?
Yeah.
The second time, because, you know, he dies the first time by the Stormbreaker of Thor. So the final killer blow is Tony Stark, Iron Man, who's kind of earned it as the first Avenger, as, you know, the guy, the leading light throughout. Were you happy about that? Or did you want to see someone else, you know, maybe Nebula could have, or Gamora could have done it, or Captain Marvel proved her powers. What do you think?
Well, I think in fairness, I think the fact that the only way they could destroy Thanos is by somebody dying to kill him. I think that was an impressive, that was a fair kind of swap. And I think I wouldn't want to lose Nebula. I think Nebula's not dead, is she? There's like, there were two of her and one of them died.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really good because I think Nebula as a character is fascinating and she's one of my favourites. I'm curious to see how that will kind of pan out. So she would be the one, I think, who earned having that final blow. But if we're going to have someone lose their life, then Tony Stark is the best choice, I guess.
Okay, and here's another question, or the last question about the original Avengers. So the Hulk is between Man and Hulk.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting decision. I will
Great
say,
performance.
Experimental. They kind of play it for laughs. And he's literally a big green man for the entire film.
Yeah.
impressive effects work. I didn't know. Was it cool or not? I missed the Hulk hulking out. He becomes kind of serious and, he can chat and make jokes. I just didn't care.
Well, he couldn't get angry. That was the funny. That was a joke in that, wasn't it? That whole when they go back to 2012, he goes around going "Arr," because he's kind of so not used to doing that. So in that respect, we kind of have to build up to it. But I get what you mean. I wonder if we will go back to these type of moments. Will we get a Hulk smash type of thing again, or is that pretty much us done with Hulk?
I hope Hulk would be in the Black Widow film. That would be really interesting. I don't need him to be this in-between stage anymore. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in seeing the Jekyll and Hyde. We are resetting things. We are going to have a new Iron Man, and maybe Pepper Potts will be involved in that. She gets some stuff in the final battle scene.
Did you have any moments which you got a little bit like not teary, but anything?
Yeah, no, they're exciting moments when Captain America gets the hammer. It's nice.
Yeah.
When all the women are collected together and protecting Peter Parker and taking the it's a brief moment, but it still feels like tokenism. And when Joe Russo is a gay character just after, in the 5 years after, just very briefly for one scene, still feels like tokenism. It's very box-ticky, and that's ultimately what disappointed me, what makes me think, I've had all the boxes, I've had 98% of the boxes ticked now. I don't really care for most of the boxes.
Okay, I find that fascinating. I do think... Again, we have to remind ourselves how early we are into this. There's something quite clever about not revealing much and having a film which is ultimately very well made with a very intricately plotted story, and how, we don't know what we're going to be like in 2 years, in 5 years, and whether we will look at this with such happiness and nostalgia and love, especially considering where it can go. They were in some really strong places with Phase 3, so where they'll go in Phase 4 is really, hopefully, will change it all completely and might make Endgame quite low down on the list.
Okay, so let me ask you then another final question. Mm-hmm. We have a small slate of films we know are coming up.
Yeah.
And a slate of TV series are coming up. You're still invested. You will watch everything.
I'll presumably. Try. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe not the TV series, yeah. But certainly everything else. What are you most looking forward to in terms of a character or a film or a combination, in fact?
Do you know what? I think I'm most looking forward to the Captain Marvel movies. Don't get me wrong, I think Black Panther also could be very good. I just don't know which way they're going to go with that. But I think with the Captain Marvel movies, there's a sense in my head, especially how the Captain Marvel film played out, and even how she is in this film, that they might have three films set prior to, even 2008. Because obviously how Ronan the Accuser is in Captain Marvel, and he kind of leaves unceremoniously, and we know that he dies in Guardians of the Galaxy, so there's a sense that he will become like the big bad for Captain Marvel, and maybe over the course of the three Captain Marvel films we'll have this interesting kind of nostalgic flashback to the 90s or the noughties, and that will be fun. while simultaneously we might even see how Ronan built his relationship up with Thanos, because of course in Guardians of the Galaxy he is working for Thanos and then goes rogue to his demise. So I'm curious, I think, most about what will happen next with Captain Marvel. Not to mention, I just adore her whenever she was on screen, and I do think she wasn't on as much as I'd hoped. I thought she was going to be a big part of this, but she kind of turned up, done the right thing, and then disappeared. And then we have the moment she arrives back on Earth again as this massive deal, and then she's just like, boof, easy. So the whole Superman problem with her being so powerful, like, what are you going to do with that? And they obviously have all the magazines to draw inspiration from. They have stuff, but I just don't know, and I think that's exciting to me.
Okay, well, that's Avengers Endgame. We've talked about it a lot, and we can say there's definitely no post-credit scene, although there are some
They'll know now. They'll have seen it.
For the old original six. We will await a new Marvel Cinematic Universe announcement with bated breath.